Please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to help make it one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And also, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, share us on Twitter or Reddit-worthy podcast. Today is Friday, the 10th of September, 2021. Hello, Christy. How are you today?
Hi, Summers. I'm well. I'm doing well. I'm hanging in there. It's the Friday, you know?
Well, before we get rockin' today, we have a great conversation today. But before we get rockin', I just want to do like a little love shout out to some of our more dedicated listeners, including at Green Londoner on Twitter. I just hopped onto Twitter today, Christy, and you know I avoid Twitter a lot because
as everybody should,
very negative. But I was so delighted, one, to read the Optimist Daily feed and see all the positive news, and two, the darling, sweet, enthusiastic, and supportive mentions from that particular follower. So, hey, thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. And we will keep morning optimism going just for you, our friend. Speaking of morning optimism, Christy, did you do anything to feel optimistic this morning?
I read the Optimist Daily.
Well, duh. That sounded like I was queuing up an ad.
I drove my son to school.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. How is school going for your high schooler now this year?
He loves it. He loves being with kids. Yeah. The other day, I'm good friends with him and also some of his other friends who I've known since they were babies. The other day, I dropped off his lunch to him at school because I brought him a burger and they can't leave campus. That's part of the right. deal right now.
Right.
So I dropped it off and I saw them all in a clump. My son hadn't noticed me yet. So I walked over to bring it to them and he came and got it and went back. They were talking to, anyway, none of them would acknowledge me. And I forgot how I'm not cool. I'm not a teenager. And so though these kids who I've known since they were babies, they are always really super friendly and give me hugs and whatever. They wouldn't even like wave back at me.
You totally got like Saved by the Bell, iced out. You are not totally popular.
I totally forgot how I'm just not in their social, like I'm invisible and I need to be invisible and don't try to be seen or you're just going to make a lot of me and yourself.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so the opposite, right? Like we relish right now in the little like joyous screeches when Brennan notices us picking her up from school and comes running forth and like all of the friends come running and it just feels so I shall cherish these days until such time. I mean, our teenagers kind of ignore us, but right now, but we don't really drop them off at school. But the big kids ignoring their parents is a rite of passage. So congratulations, I guess. Yeah, I think that's the best we can say on that front. Well, speaking of self-awareness and health and mental health for teenagers and old people like you and me, we have a pretty interesting article. We've actually chosen to just go in depth on one headline today on the Optimist Daily, haven't we?
Yes, we are. We're going to focus in on one because I think both of us were just taken with the concepts here. And I think it's an interesting conversation to talk about what interoception is.
Exactly. All right. Just queue up a little bit of the article and explain a bit what we're talking about. And then Christy and I will go off book and dive into some of our deeper thoughts on this subject.
Start with the headline. Yes.
The headline reads, "What's interoception and how does it affect our self-image?" Now, the saying, "Trust your gut and follow your heart," actually may ring truer than we thought. There is a new study by researchers from Anglia Ruskin University that demonstrates a link between negative body image and weak brain responses from signals from the gut and the heart. Now, we oftentimes think of us as always thinking with our brain, but it turns out that biomarkers for mental health disorders have helped us identify that we think with more than just our heads. We experience our body from both the inside and out. We can be aware of how our skin and limbs look, but also of how hungry we feel or how strongly our heart is beating during exercise, says Jane Aspel, the lead author of the study. The brain also continuously processes these other internal signals that we aren't actually aware of. Now, there's $18 million in funding that the National Institutes of Health have provided for interoception-focused studies, because this is a really big thing. This is so fascinating because what it has explored is that the relationship between body image and interoception is linked, and they've identified it through a number of different body image assessments. There's one about heartbeat called HEP and tracks the brain's response to a beating heart. And the second measure is gastric alpha phase amplitude coupling, PAC, and tracks electrical activities in part of the gut and in the brain in order to measure the brain's responses to signals from the gut. Long story short, when the brain has a weaker connection to various internal body parts, the brain puts more emphasis on the external body, and so appearance becomes much more important. Let me break that down one more time. If we're less connected with the inside of our body and how the inside machinations work and feel, the more likely we are to be concerned about the outside of our body. Christy, this is mind-blowing. This is so fascinating. Now, before we got started today, I asked you and Amelia for your understanding and experience and perception on what body shame is. So do you want to just sort of recap the brilliance you two came up with?
We should have recorded that, probably. But basically what I was saying is that, to me, body shame is that sense of your self-awareness and self kind of discomfort in your own skin, where you are judging yourself and you want to hide your own body. You don't feel comfortable in your skin because of, for one reason or other, you think you don't fit in. And it can be very subtle. You can be totally aware of it. You can be not at all aware of it. But it might mean that you then decide that you won't wear certain things or that you won't go certain places. And Amelia pointed out that there's kind of three levels, because there's that internal body shame, that self-judgment and self-criticized feeling. And to me, it's not just mental. It's also physical, because you feel it in your body. You feel that shame and that desire to not be seen. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the sort of the social dimension. And I'm talking about in your own relationships. And so it comes from being treated, the comments people might make about you, or even unintentional, even well-meaning, like, are you sure you want to wear that outfit kind of thing, you know, where makes you self-conscious of how maybe you're wearing clothes that don't fit you exactly right, according to what the regular societal standards might be. But it's also things like just the general culture that you're in and who's considered the most beautiful, most attractive, most sexy person, and how you measure
what information is being collected from media sources.
And so it's very externally driven. It's how you fit into the world around you according to societal and familial or regional standards, and how you've internalized those. And so you either judge or feel bad about yourself. So it can be a very physical experience of not caring for yourself. Mm-hmm. And my reaction to this article, which I found fascinating, and the whole concept of interoception and that sense of being connected to your own body and listening to it, trusting your body, and how that can be a sense that you can have skill and talent in, or one that you cannot have talent in, and you can actually be disconnected from yourself, was fascinating to me. The question that I have is, which direction, and I think the article points it out, which direction is it? Because is it people who have a low sense of themselves, a low interoception, that makes them have more body shame? Or it does body shame in itself and not meeting societal standards, not, you know, being not skinny, being not tall, being not fair skinned, for example. Those are just three of the big ones. Being not male, if you're in a society where men mm-hmm. get to do some things and women don't get to do those things, right? Or vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Or not being female, right?
Or not being female. You
know. Yeah.
If you're not fitting in one way or another, do you feel less connected to your body, less trustful of your body? Or maybe you're not super strong, or you're not healthy, and so you want to ignore your body, discount your body, not listen to your body because you don't trust it. Does that come from that sense of shame,
right?
Or is that sense of shame coming from having a weaker sense of interoception?
So we have this chicken and egg problem,
yeah,
right here when it comes to interoception. But at the Optimist Daily, we are in fact all about solutions. And while we know that we can't be certain which direction this sort of value proposition chain goes, right? Whether it's body first, shame later, shame first, body later. We do know that there are practices and tools to help even someone who either is experiencing body shame or someone who has not yet gone down that path to develop their own interoceptive experiences. I was saying to Christine and Amelia before we did this that, you know, my husband teases me all the time that I have like a lot of body dysmorphia because I definitely put on a lot of weight when I had the baby. You know, I feel like I'm just enormous, but it doesn't necessarily affect what I do and how I go about in the world, right? Like I'm not actually carrying a tremendous amount of shame around it. It's just a fact that I don't think I look like I want to look, or, you know, but it's this separation mm-hmm. of those two facts. And part of that is from what Christy and I have both spent a lot of time in our lives doing, which is a lot of reconnecting with our bodies, reconnecting yeah. with the, as I say, like my terrible little pinky toe, right? Which has been broken so many times and always gets made fun of when I get pedicures, but just head to toe, connecting with every little part of my body and honoring it and being grateful for the things it can accomplish and can do. Christy, what are some of the tools that people can use to develop more in a more interoceptive relationship with their body?
Well, I think the first one is just recognizing that it's a valuable skill to develop. And it's something that being in contact with the signals your body is giving you, it's not something to be ashamed of. But when you're hungry, you need to eat. If you're tired, you ought to sleep. If you have to, to pee, then you got to go pee. And I think we get trained that we should just push through. If we don't feel right, you should be aware of that and get it checked out, right? I mean, they were shocked that when I had my appendicitis, I caught it super early because I was very sensitive to the fact that something wasn't right. But other people aren't as aware of their inner bodies. And it's something that I have spent time developing, partly because I have experience with eating disorders and I have experience with tremendous amount of body shame to the extent that I would not have in my younger years, I would not do things because I didn't feel good about being seen, like swimming. I'm not in that place anymore. And so for me, meditation has helped. Yoga has helped tremendously. And yoga helps not just with the interoception, but also with the proprioception, which is your awareness of where your body is in space. So that the external, you know, how you fit in the world as opposed to how you feel within your own body. And those are two separate things, but they're connected. And they're both considered senses and skills, which don't often get talked about there, right. But they are essential for functioning well in the world. So a lot of these things happen beneath our awareness, but by bringing them into awareness and trusting your gut, for example, listening to your heart and asking your body reaction to what is your body reaction, and then investigating that can really help you learn how to do that more. So yoga, meditation, acupuncture can sometimes help you get reconnected to your body. And if you're not feeling well, I think it's interesting if you think about when you have a sore back, but you don't think about it when you're sitting and working because you're not paying attention to your body. But then you sit down and you relax and suddenly you realize just how sore you are.
Yeah.
Because you're suddenly you're not being distracted.
I learned a little trick when I was in a camp, actually. I think I was in eighth or ninth grade. It was a camp called Super Camp and it was called body scanning. And it's laying down on your back, closing your eyes, taking 10 deep breaths, and then going through cognitively saying, how do my toes feel?
Yeah.
How do my feet feel? How do my heels feel? And you go up your body, ankles, shins, knees, thighs, hips, stomach, right? So you do what's called a body scan and you take, it can even be a practice that's done in less than, 2 minutes where, and you don't even have to be laying down, right? You can just close your eyes and do a body scan to say, how did the tips of my fingers feel at this moment? And even if you don't actually know, you are acknowledging that the tips of your fingers are part of you, that all of this whole corporal experience is part of the communication network for what makes you move through this world, right? Mm-hmm. And so even if there's just like a tiny tip that we would say, read the article, guys, because there's some links at the bottom of the article that also give some recommendations. I think there's like a great yoga site that we linked in there maybe. And there's more complex ways to develop interoceptive experience, but just like take a minute right now and do a body scan and just think about how those silly little pinky toes are doing all the way up to how does the top of your head feel, and not your brain. The actual top of your head.
And I think this is one of the reasons that for me, yoga has been really important because a lot of times the first thing you do is you just sit and you check and meditation as well. You fall back into your body. So you feel your shoulders and you intentionally relax them, but you don't even realize that you've been holding tension there. The body scan, that's, I think, very often used in mindfulness training. When I first started using mindfulness, that was how you, again, it's like falling back into your body. And I think that's something that societally we're compelled not to do often. Right. We want to push through things and not listen to ourselves and not listen to our bodies. And so it is a skill set that we can develop.
So, Christy, it's Friday. We got to wrap this up. We have the Optimist Daily Update Challenge. We have talked about a lot of great stories this week. We had back to school anxiety and how retainers are helping Ford build better cars. We talked about listening, learning, moving, pollinators, planting. But it's so clear to me what our challenge should be this weekend. Do you think I know what it is? What do you think it is?
I think we're going to have to do some body scanning.
I think we are. I think we're going to have to do body scanning. I commit to you. I commit to the Optimist Daily Challenge and to all the listeners out there that I will do 3 full body scans, one on Friday, one on Saturday, and one on Sunday. And I will report back in on how I'm feeling next week. Christy, let's get in touch with our bodies. Let's do it.
I like it. I think I can commit to that one as well.
All right.
What else,
Amelia?
Amelia's
listening. We're going to make her commit too.
Anything else we should mention today on today's stories?
Sure. Okay, let me hit a few more headlines. We've got the Netherlands saying no to fossil fuel greenwashing ad campaign. How self-taught electrician in Malawi brought electricity to his village. It's a fantastic story. Got pests, keep them at bay with these natural repellents. Climate cafes offer a safe space to discuss climate change. And there's one dating app that helps pets find their perfect match. What else, Christy, do we have?
All right. Well, in South Korea, one oil company is shifting its focus to offshore wind. I think that's a trend we're going to see more and more as the future unfolds. There's some tips and tricks to make homemade jams and jellies like a pro now that it's the fall season and all of our produce is now got to get harvested and then we have to do something with it.
Try to make more fruit leather. Summers
right.
Don't do
fruit
it.
Leather. Don't do it. You can start there. Just don't make it fruit charcoal, right?
Exactly.
There's a new approach to parole, which helps reduce recidivism. Mm. And honestly, people don't really understand climate jargon. This could be a problem. One of the reasons that we haven't maybe tackled climate change more, but science communication could help. And just being aware of how do you communicate scientific concepts in a way which makes sense in common sense language. I love this. And I think we're going to be interviewing a science communicator in the next few weeks. So that
I know. I think we get I'm excited about that. Next week, the week after. I'm excited for that one. Yeah. Mimi and the Brain. Yes.
Science communication, super important, especially when we have lots of issues which are informed by deep scientific research and can help us create a better world. So that's it for today's Optimist Daily. Thanks so much for listening to the Optimist Daily update. And we promise to keep sharing positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can change the world and participate in it and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to keep covering current events with accurate, legitimate sources and offering you information, which we all need, so we can all help chart paths for all of us. And as we always say, if you haven't already signed up as an emissary, but you like what we do, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for starting at just $5 a month, you can help support reader-funded independent journalism that is The Optimist Daily and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness that addresses our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Everybody, let's keep The Optimist Daily free for all who need it, supported by those who can. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your body scans, and we'll see you on Monday.